Blog Talk Radio.
The True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahuwah's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah's Radio, Yahuwah's Ministry. I'll be your host by name, your seer, Israel. Oh, see, Roy. We're doing a series called Exposing the Lies Out of the Catholic Church and the Latter-day Saints, part 14, and a lot of lies on the table, period, but we're going to see what we can get out of part number 14 after we lay a little foundation. We just need to play and lay a little foundation, then we'll get ready to the broadcast by laying a little foundation.
Commonly referred to as the Tetragrammaton, the translators adopted a device used in most English versions can render the name as Lord or God. What does it mean when these translators say they adopted a device? Let's look at what the definition of device is. Device is defined as a thing made for a particular purpose, an invention, a brand of scheme, or effecting a purpose. There we have it. The translators had a specific purpose, invention, plan, and scheme for rendering the name of the Creator as either Lord or God. What might that purpose, invention, plan, or scheme be? We must ask ourselves. The obvious then becomes the obvious. The translators of most modern Bibles' main purpose, invention, plan, and scheme was to literally change and replace the name of the Creator so that no one could truly know his name.
Translations. So,
asking what's right to me. The no always was saying. The no always was pronouncing. Why? Because worship is most written several centuries after it was pronounced. Because it was written without vowels. And vowels, they were inserted many centuries later. Between the 6th and the 9th century after Christ. A long time passed between when that name was written only with consonants and when the vowels were inserted. Kings have written many treatises on this name. And this happened precisely because its meaning is not known. Not know, the best thing is do not make translations. And if you not know, the best thing is do not make translations. And if you not know, the best thing is do not make translations. And if you not know, the best thing is do not make translations.
These four letters become his holy name for God. In the Tetragrammaton, these four letters have become his holy name for God. He's using this name, Yahweh, and it's represented by these four letters, the Tetragrammaton. And it's represented by these four letters, the Tetragrammaton. Now, Moral very rightly says, we don't know how that was pronounced. The vowels came into Yahweh at a later stage. We just have the four consonants. So even though we can't be sure exactly how it was pronounced in the beginning, we do know what the four consonants were. And that tells us quite enough, in my view, to place this story in a global family of stories. The consonants we have are YHWH.
Yahweh is the most ancient form of the pronunciation of these letters, and in English it's often rendered as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, in English it's often rendered as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes, where Lord is all capitalized, or the word God in the James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes. And in English, it's often rendered as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes. And in English, it's often rendered as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes, where Lord is all capitalized, or the word God is all capitalized. We'll see that whenever there is the capitalization of these words, the name has been covered up in those instances. The word applies, some ambiguous entity. However, Yahweh is the personal revelation of the Creator. The great what becomes the great who can render as YHWH. In fact, if you're using a King James Version, you may even find YHWH in the margin sometimes, where Lord is all capitalized, or the word God is all capitalized. You'll see that whenever there is the capitalization of these words, the name has been covered up in those instances. And that is really important, because the word applies, some ambiguous entity. However, Yahweh is the personal revelation of the Creator. The great what becomes the is the personal revelation, ambiguous entity. However, Yahweh is the personal revelation of the Creator. Ambiguous entity. However, Yahweh is the personal,
because Yahweh is expanding the awareness of this great, awesome, immortal name. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, we read, "Then shall those who fear Yahweh, YHWH, Yahweh, shall speak to one another, and Yahweh will listen and hear, and a book of remembrance be written before him of those who fear Yahweh, those who think upon his name."
Brother Micaiah.
Yahweh bless you there, says Brother Steve Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, young line. Well, we drop a long word down. You know, Dick Dignitary dropped that long word, hermeneutic down, H-E-R-M-E-N-E-U-T-I-C-U-S. And what we're going to do, we're going to investigate that word, see what it means, and then we'll see how the spirit of Yahweh take care of that business on this word called hermeneutic. See? All right. So take a little peep at that, young line. I'll be back with you in a second on it. We'll see Brother Titus come on stage for the nice episode number 14. Brother Titus Israel, tribe of Judah, up and coming teacher out of Camp 1. Yahweh bless you there, Seer Israel.
Yahweh bless you there, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, young man. Get you write that word down and be prepared to back up the other young line on this word called hermeneutic, H-E-R-M-E-N-E-U-T-I-C-U-S. Make sure you got
yes,
it down.
Sir.
We're going to take a look. Okay, good. All right. Let's find out who else come on stage. Oh, Mother E. Mother E is real. Tribe of Yahdah Judah. One of the mothers out of Camp 1. She coming on stage for take 14. Hey, Mother E, tribe of Yahdah Judah, Yahweh bless you that see right here.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
All right, there, Mother, hallelujah, Yahweh. Well, we know we found out a lot of information last night, and we left out a lot of good stuff that we didn't get a chance to get to. Maybe we might get it tonight, might get it Wednesday. One thing we do know, when you catch these young ladies walking around with all that blonde in their hair, they need to know it's not biblically correct for children of Israel to have blonde in their hair or follow after other nations. So look at that pretty good last night. And we know Moses is on standby and ready to give a commentary or whatever role is to play. So we'll talk to her a little bit later. So now, young lions. Now who won't take a shot at that word called hermeneutic, before we get some Luke 12:12, who won't take a shot at that word and see what it means? Because the big dignitaries says from them great big old camps, see, the difference between what we teach out of the Bible is the hermeneutic way. I say, yeah, so what that supposed to mean? So I'm looking at the definition of it, and they said that's the reason why we don't see eye to eye here. So that's the way we teach. I said, they said, what kind of response you got behind that? I said, well, I'm not going to respond on it at all. I'm just going to throw the word on the network, and we're just going to investigate the word, and then I'll respond when everybody hear my response at the proper time. So who want to take a shot at that word first? Young Lions, y'all on the clock, come on.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Well, I got something I pulled up on the Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia. It has hermeneutic. It's a theory and myth theology of interpretation, especially the interpretation of biblical text.
Excellent. So you broke it down to that long, big old word. It means a interpretation. That means what we're going to do, we're going to read a verse, and we're going to interpret some in there. Like, for example, we'll look at the name YHWH, and we just interpret it. That means Lord God and Jesus and Allah and Buddha. All right, young lion, what you got on there, Brother Titus? What you got that you're working with to back up what Brother Micaiah put on the table? Now, what you working with? Come on.
Okay, I'm looking at the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. The definition of hermeneutic, a plural form but singular, or, I'm going to get to the point, the study of the methodical principles of interpretation as of the Bible.
word means is interpret. Is otherwise, you might sometimes people to say to you, well, that's your interpretation. So now, once you come up with that long word, you know, they'll say, well, that's what you interpret. See?
Mm-hmm.
Without that long word, so they get points in the graduation by antiphermalytic, meaning they'll interpretation on what something means, and what they'll go with is the interpretation of it. So that's what they'll do. And then they'll give you a grade on interpretation. So you get a grade on interpreting what the word means. But now we want to go into the Bible after we, Brother Micaiah, after we look at Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see what we can get going on. So we want to respond, answer on this hermeneutic is what it means is an interpretation of a point. If you read a verse and they'll say to you, that's your interpretation. That is your interpretation of it. And I said, okay, well, what is yours? And they said, well, I was told a difference. Oh, okay. And so he said, that's what you mean by antimony. Hermeneutic is an interpretation of something. Okay. He said, what you think about that, Seer? I said, well, I'll tell you what, whatever I think about it, I'll give no answer. But I'll tell you what, since we know you'll be in the room for the next episode 14, then we'll kind of put it on the table and we'll see what the young lions get out of it. And both of them came with the same conclusion. It means an interpretation of a scripture, whatever you coming up biblically or religious-wise, it be your interpretation. So, got it. Since we got that on the table, now let's look at Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see what's going on there. Huh?
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12, verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
That's right. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit, it does the teaching in that very same hour. So, since we said earlier that they said they don't know how to pronounce that true name, YHWH, so they're inserting Yahweh and everything else. But then we also heard the dictionary they say in the new part of the book, it was no such words as Lord God. Then we can just put the rest of it, Jesus, Allah, and Buddha. Because Brother Micaiah and Luke the 23, can you have to see out in verse 38, then swing right down to St. John chapter 9. Let's go see out in Luke 3, verse
38. Say the book of Luke 23, verse 3.
We'll make it 38.
Okay. Book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 38. Verse 38 reads.
Oh, yeah, what it reads.
And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, in Latin, and in Hebrew, the Semitic tongue. This is the king of Yadaju.
Okay. All right. That sounds real good. Now swing right on up to St. John 19, verse 20. And then we want to expound on exactly what we're hearing now. Let's see what it says in St. John chapter 19, verse 20. What that say?
Book of St. John chapter 19. We're going to pick it up at verse number 20. The book of St. John chapter 19, verse 20 reads, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the tree, and the writing was, Yahweh, the son of Nazareth, the king of Yadaju.
And what about it?
Yeah, keep reading.
Verse 20.
A little bit more out of there, young man.
Verse 20. This title then read many of Yada Judah, for the place where Yahweh the Son was crucified was now to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Shemitic tongue, and Greek, and Latin.
All right. Now let's mound on that for a minute. Now, they use words, all the big dignitaries use the word called Lord God and Jesus. And now, any one of the young minds can expound on that. Lord God and Jesus, by dropping two precepts down, Luke 23:38.
All right. Well, what I get out of it for the name Jesus, that name should have been around during the time of Yahweh the Son, because they said only spoken these three different languages, which is the Hebrew, the Semitic tongue, they spoken Greek, and spoken Latin. So what I get out of it is that the name couldn't even exist according to seeking up add something on to that, because the name Jesus, we come to find out, hadn't even been out there long. We can pull some out and read some on that. I got some on that saying that the name Jesus in some in historical documents let us know that the name Jesus was our now bringing. It says Joshua in Acts 7:45 instead of the new 250-year-old substitute named Jesus. So the name Jesus is roughly around a little bit over 250 years old now. So it couldn't have been around the time when Greek, Latin, and the Semitic tongue, Hebrew, was being spoken to you.
So, Brother Titus, what is your conclusion with that kind of information, your exposure? So what you say and understand that the language that was spoken at the time, the language that was spoken at the time was Hebrew, Latin, or Greek. Hebrew means Semitic. So when you come in contact with the Lord God Jesus Christ peoples, and, or get prepared for them, what, how would you present yourself with the package that you, or how would you present yourself? Yeah, young lion, come on, Brother Titus. So, Brother Titus, what we want to know is, by you knowing that name, that the writings of the time, the language of the time was Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, or Hebrew, Greek, Latin, now you ran to Jesus, Jehovah, Lord God, and Allah and Buddha. So what is your approach? You're running to Jesus Christ. So you're on the clock there, young lion. Come on.
All right. So that word Jesus, it wasn't no letter J. The letter J didn't even exist. The letter J didn't even exist. It's originated from the European tongue 1500 years later. And then we know that it wasn't no letter J's. It's an English, it's a 10 English letter. The letter J is a 10 English letter. So you got to get English to get the letter J.
It's a 10th English letter.
But they gonna say that's your interpretation. That's your hermeneutics. That's hermeneutics. They gonna say that's your interpretation of it there. So what would you say behind that when they say, well, that's your that's what you interpret out of that. That is your interpretation, not what you do now.
Okay, if they say if that's my interpretation.
If that's your interpretation. Now, what would you do? Would you continue to go back and forth to reason with them through tongue and cheek? So what would you do once they say, well, that's your interpretation of it? Now, what would you go from that point? After you hear their point,
well,
that's your interpretation of his name is YHWH. That's your interpretation that we call him Jesus Christ because we speak English. So now, what would you do behind that?
Hallelujah, boy.
What would I do behind that? One thing I do though, never bump your gums, never reason with no one. Just when you bring out, I'll bring it out the scripture.
Okay, all right, where you going? Okay, where you going? Where you going? Okay, you say you're not going to try to beat win the bump the gum contest, so now where will you go in scripture behind that? So where will you go?
Would I go?
Say, this is, that's your interpretation. Where you go?
Okay.
Where would you go?
Okay,
to?
I would go. Would I go to? I would go to. I would go to. First, I would go to End Time Prophecy, and then I'm gonna go to Acts as well too.
Okay, let's hear where you'll go when you use the name YHWH. They use the name Jesus Christ, and so they'll say that's your interpretation. So now, where would you go behind that?
Okay, concerning the name Jesus.
No, sir, they say this is your interpretation. Where are you going?
Okay.
Where are you going? Where are you going, Brother Micaiah? Where are you
going?
That's your.
We gonna go.
We call him Jesus Christ, so we speak English. So that's your interpretation. Right. His name is YHWH. That's your interpretation. So now, right. Where are you going?
Well, we gonna go show the language that was spoken back in the time of Yahweh the Son. And we're going to see what the name he had.
Okay.
We're going to go read Luke 23 and 38, and then we're going to go back to that John, read 19 down to 20. We're going to first find out what was the three languages they were spoke, and see can they hold up if what they're talking about. If they can hold up and show that his name was called Jesus according to these three languages, then they got something going on. But the Bible will tell the story. So we'll kick it off with those two scriptures to put a language on the table first.
Okay, good. All right. Well, let's see what would a seer go when they say, well, that's your interpretation. Let me see what a seer go to then. Let's see what he says in Titus, we go on to Genesis 40, verse 8. Let me see what a seer go at. Okay, well, that's your interpretation. Let's see what would a seer go at in that case. We're going to Genesis 40, verse 8. See what it
say. Are we going to the book of Genesis? Genesis chapter 40, verse 8. Book of Genesis chapter 40, verse 8 reads, and they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretation belong to Yahweh? Tell me, I pray you.
So, hold on. All I wanted was the point that what interpretation belonged. And they say, if they ask me, say, well, that's your interpretation, seer. We call him Lord God Jesus. That's your interpretation. Then I swing down And I read word, the same word they use, that it come back and bite them. Interpretation belongs to Yahweh. See? So that's where I come at. Then I will precept the Bible. And Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. See, then I will precept the Bible. At 8, verse 3 of Deuteronomy there. See, all I want to do here, what word they got on the table. When they said, again, the definition of hermeneutics means that's their interpretation. So while they interpret what the Bible says, that's why you got all these names that don't match up, because they interpret in their language. So what I do, I go and find out interpretation belongs to the mighty one. So that's what old seer go to. Then I precept and says, Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 there, of Titus. What it says in 8, verse 3?
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 3, read. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you knew is not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man do not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh, do man live.
Mm-hmm. So I'll get him into that we live by every word that the Almighty says. And then I'll go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, that young line. Then I'll go and put him on the spot. That's what the seer do. You go to 1 Peter 4, 11 and see what it say. Now, I'm writing down as it unfolds, because sooner or later, you'll hear on the clock and you'll hear his word called, that's your interpretation. When you read the verse, all you want is the subject matter. You go on and get what you're looking for, not the story matter of the verse, just the subject matter. We found out interpretation belongs to God, to Yahweh. That's where interpretation belongs. So now, and then it would go and Peter in 4:11 and says what?
Book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 11. If any man
verse 10, doesn't sound good.
1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man have received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold mercy of Yahweh. Verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of Yahweh. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which Yahweh giveth, that Yahweh in all things may be honored through Yahweh the Son, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
So I'm working on this hermeneutics. Then I slam a donut by going to Romans chapter 3, verse 4. See, then you slam the door on them in Romans 3, verse 4.
The book of Romans.
That's why I say again, when you have a relationship, you must have a relationship that's totally is up under the four-letter man. Because what we showing you now is how you're supposed to be prepared and build. Rehearse this righteous act when the time appointed come, because like the young lion put on the table, I first showed him that it was no such language at that time, and that was excellent. Then I go on and start taking the arm off and popping his in there. I show him that at the time that these things were spoken, it was such language as an English language, which was talked about in 449 A.D., it became official language in 1382. All manuscripts were composed in 96 A.D. At the time that he walked the face of the earth, was no such thing as no Lord, God, Jesus, Allah, or Buddha. So I established my point. And I slammed the door on him by going to Romans 3, verse 4, what it say?
Book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 4. Verse 4 reads, Yahweh forbid Yea. Let Yahweh be true. But every man a liar.
So
this Rick.
So what we're saying is how you have to conduct yourself in the call the battle. When you're on the battlefield, you don't go back and forth with them at all. If you got the word interpretation, all I want to do interpretation is not what. You do interpretation. We go by every word that we can read, and we just broke down that part. That's how you got to do it. You got to take a deep breath and whatever you on, you got to get on it. Now, so if that's the case, we got that out of the way. So Mother Eve, Mother Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And before, verse 1 and 2. Let's see what we can read in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. We want to show soundly how you go in the scripture and take care of your business. By taking a deep breath and getting at it in grand style. Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2. What to say, Mother?
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verses 1 and verse 2. Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verse 1. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, what to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Yahweh of your father give you. Verse 2, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish or front it, that you might keep the commandments of Yahweh, your Yahweh, which I command you.
Mm-hmm. So it's a commandment, don't add to his words. Well, he don't say it, that's the way it is. What the proverb is, the wise man in the world, Mother. He cast him the precept on it, 30 verse 5 and 6. Proverbs 30 verse 5 and 6, and he cast it on the precept. So remember, when you bring a verse out, you must be prepared to put a precept with it. That's the game changer. Bring a verse out, put a precept with it. Because they might have a verse. You will say, yeah, that sounds good. But what is your precept with that verse right there? You put them on the spot by letting them find a precept. With this hermeneutic that these big dignitaries got how they divide over, we find out that don't work. That don't work. As a matter of fact, Brother Makai, read me Romans 14, 7 through 9. Romans chapter 14, 7 through 9. And as Mother is giving me my Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6. Hey, young line, Brother Makai, what do Romans 14, 7 through 9 say?
Going over to the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 7 down to verse number 9. The book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 7 reads, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man died to himself. Verse 8, for rather we live unto the Yahweh, and rather we die to the Yahweh. Whether we live thereof or die, we are the Yahweh. Verse number 9. For to this end, Yahweh the Son both died and rose and revived, that he might be Yahweh both of the dead and the living.
So we're not worried about your analytics, your hermeneutics, because one thing about it, that's a man come up with a long word like tetragrammaton. We won't know what the four-letter man said about it. We won't know his rules and his regulations. We don't want to hear about your analytics, and that's what you got to do to get a diploma from the big dignitaries. You got to know analytics. Well, according to Yahweh, he said, man live by every word he say. That's what he say. So now which one you go with? You go with your diploma with the hermeneutics on it? It only means that it's an interpretation. Interpretation belongs to him. Or you can go with what Yahweh say.
That's the point we're making. Let's get a little bit more there, Mother. 30 verse 5 and 6 of Proverbs, what it say?
Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 5. Every word of Yahweh is true. He is a seal unto them that put their trust in him. Verse 6. Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar.
Mm-hmm. And what other rules did he leave, Mother, in the name of 3 verse 7? He left some more rules. He left some more rules that if you're in a tight, let's see you turn to a hermeneutic, which means interpretation. It's what we think it's saying. Let's see what he left for the children of Israel to always understand what they told to do. Instead of worrying about what man got to say, they check in with Amos 3, verse 7. Say that, Mother.
Amos 3, verse 7. Let me start looking. The book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7 reads, surely Yahweh will do nothing, but he reveal his secret unto his servant, the seer.
Mm-hmm. That's how he rolls. So, young lion, Brother Micaiah, in the book of Psalms 119, verse 4, 19:20, and 104. Psalms 119, Brother Micaiah, verse 4, get down to verse 99, 100, and 104, what it says.
All right, going over to the book of Psalms, chapter 119. I'm going to pick it up at verse 4, 19, 20, and 104. The book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse number 4 reads, you have commanded us to keep your precepts, healing to me. Verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth, have not your laws from me. Verse 20.
No, one. So break it
forth.
Skip down to verse 99 and 100. Skip down to verse 99 and 100 and 104.
All right. Skip it down to verse 99, 100, and 104. The book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 99 reads, I have more understanding than all my teeth, for your covenants are my meditation. Verse 100. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 104. Through your precepts I can understand. Therefore I hate every false way.
So what you doing the hermeneutics, what kind of way is that?
The false way.
Say it again, that Mother E. Mother E. Israel, you that was taking on your part, so put them more audio with it, Mother. Bring it out again.
I said false.
Excellent. A false way. So you got to catch them when they go off into your textogrammaton and your hermeneutics. They're going off these own invented words that they came up with, but you admire them because they got a long word on the table, only meaning one thing. We interpret what the book is saying. It's like the early part of the broadcast, they said, we don't even know where that came from or what that is at YHWH. You know, Lord God and Jesus have replaced it. I let you know, they really tell you, bottom line, we don't know. But since you won't ask it anyway, anything. A fool asks what his name is, we'll tell you. We don't know. But sometimes you might think they such a guru. No. Well, go ahead and think about it. We know you know. Why you think I know? Because they done lied to you like a rug so long that you bigger that they ice water cola. That's the mindset we got to break. No, they do not know his word. That's why they got hermeneutics going on. They're trying to figure out what he says. So if you want to know what he's saying, just come to voices of the true Israelites. But tell you what is going on. So now in Isaiah there, Brother Micaiah, 28:9, 10, and 13 says what? Isaiah 28:9, 10, and 13
Going over to the book.
Always respond back with scriptures after you're going to take a deep breath. But you got to be word up at the time appointed. Can't be thumbing all around. Like I told him, I said, I'll give an answer, but I just take your same long words you got, and I throw it on the table, and I just see one thing. What will Yahuwah kick in at various same hour and take it from there? That's what we'll do. If we ain't got no problem with you, if you're in the Bible, just put anything on the Bible. We know one thing. If you live by the Spirit of Yahuwah, that same hour, he'll give you an answer. See what it says in Isaiah 28:9, 10, 13
The book of Isaiah, chapter 28:9, 10, and 13 The book of Isaiah, chapter 28:9 reads, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Teaching them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Verse 10 For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a look, and there a look. Verse 13, but the word of Yahuwah was unto them, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, and there a little, that they might go and fall back and be broken and snared and taken.
So what he's saying, you don't let them get you out of the rules of the Bible. And hermeneutics have no place in the Bible. That's something that they have made up. So you do one thing. This hermeneutic means that precept in your Bible, do it or do it mean you're going to tell us what it means. Because if you tell us what it means without precepting, we know one thing, that's not the way of the Almighty. So you got to keep them where they got to come up with a scripture, and then you start dumbing them down because they're going to be already in a game saying, move. They're going to have their deck stacked on you anyway. But if you keep them in the precept, then you know exactly what's going on. In 6th chapter, verse 22 there, about Titus, then you be clear. When you look right down at the 60th chapter, but you got to remember, every time you're on a battlefield for your mighty one, this is what you're going to run into every time. So you're going to run into this every time. You're going to run into a 60, verse number 22. That was you're going to run into every time, and you got to be licking your chops on a 60, verse 22. What does it say there, young man?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verse 22. A little one to become a thousand, and a small one, a strong nation. I, Yahuwah, will hasten it in his time.
You got to look at one thing. You're going to be a little one, and they're going to be... And you're going to be a little one, either chase a thousand by getting them into that Bible and get them out of six. But if you try to win by doing the talk back and forth, you're going to lose. But once you able to say, yeah, that sounds good, but the rules and regulation of Yahuwah is to give me a verse. Then, by the way, while you're there, give me a precept with it. Now you're going to cut the odds in your favor right away. Because, see, in last night's lesson, we heard a big dignitary lay out the program for those that was to not to leave the church. Don't leave the church. Stay with the church and remember our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the rock. So all that was on, all was in that last night lesson. And we got as much as we can out of that lesson. So I want to get a little bit more, but this is supposed to be the big dignitary to tell us exactly this plan back. But he said, never leave the church. So what we want to do, we want to examine that church. Never leave the church. I don't care how much you get upset with anything, don't leave the church. But if you got any ideas, a platform is set for you to come and expound on it. Brother Micaiah, Jay, let's see how you're supposed to expound on anything. Just do you go to the microphone? Let's see what we can read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, down to verse 18. That's how we're supposed to expound, because they say if you have any way to help by having a new technology called yourself, your smartphone, or we have to use it all the time, if you have any way to help and the church do so. But let's lay a little groundwork down, because you might be one day in that position to help them, since the platform is open for you. But you got to make sure you saying the right thing to help them. Let's see how we can help them in 2 Timothy 2, 15, down to verse 18. Brother Micaiah, come on.
The book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, down to verse number 18. Verse 15 reads, study to show yourself approved unto Yahuwah, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 16. But
hold that point.
John,
hold that point. What do verse 15 mean? Who want to take that? Who want to take that right there? Verse 15. What that mean?
All right. That verse 15 means. That verse 15 means. You got to study to show yourself approved. Now when we get on to this, what's up? Like we on the airways now. You got to be in this daily. You got to be in this book daily.
That sounds pretty good, but that is after you come up with the number one. That's good. That's number two or three. But what is the number one, which you just read that verse again, young line. What is he saying in that verse 15? Although you wasn't wrong what you said there, young line. But just wasn't number one. This verse again in verse 15 one more time. What is it saying in verse 15 again?
Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. Verse 15 reads, study to show thyself approved unto Yahuwah, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Now, who won't take another shot at that? The number one answer to that. Take another shot at that. The number one answer to that is what?
Study.
Hold that point. Hold your point there, young line. Mother Easter, let me take care of it. Let me go and take care of that, please. Something around. Come on, Mother E, go on, bring it out, Mother E.
I said, study to show yourself approved unto Yahuwah. The workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Excellent. So that means we don't have to prove anything, do we? We don't. No debates with no man. We ain't trying to get man approval on anything. We study to show ourselves a mighty one. That's what he said. Make sure you got your mighty one working. Don't try to please man or try to sit around. They got so many debates. They want the camps, 6 million camps in debate. We're not even being, what were you in debate? Debating for? We're not studying to debate you. We studying to show ourselves approved to Yahuwah. That's the number one answer. Okay. We study to show ourselves approved to Yahuwah. We don't worry about man's approval on anything. We don't want no pat on the back. back from man. We want a Matthew 25:21 there, Brother Titus. We want a Matthew 25:21. That's what we shooting for. Read it.
Book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 21 reads, "Here's Yahweh said to him, 'Well done, you good and faithful servant.'"
Hallelujah.
We want him to say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So that's what we're looking for, because our people's in bad shape. The big dignitaries, brother, stop the message that don't lead a church and Christ is our rock. See, that's the kind of stuff we got to deal with, because we got to post the world. You know, we have to make sure we understand to break down what they stand. And if we ever come to a platform, not coming to correct them, coming to pray our people from the what they in now to line up with salvation. But what they on now, it ain't no blessing in Lord God Jesus Christ. When you doing no blessing in Lord God Jesus Christ. And they said plainly they don't know the name. We got to introduce the name and his program. We got to understand interpretation belongs to Yahweh. And Yahweh got it written. All we got to do is follow the manuscript was written and break these words down in proper order. Then for Yahweh to give us a Matthew 25:21. "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's what we're looking out of this deal. We're not trying to win man over anything. Bible saying, and we're gonna help the ones that want to be helped and keep it moving. So that's what it means by study. When you study this book, you're not trying to show yourself approved to nobody but the Almighty. That's the game changer right there. 3:16, that young line, Brother Titus, Brother Micaiah, verse 16.
All right, we're going back over to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, picking up at verse number 16. 16 reads, "But shun profane and vain babble, for they will increase unto more unyahwaliness." Verse 17.
You see that? Hold that point. You see that? So that's why we said what we said. Not those that know what we said, we said it. We don't want to get off into a bump the gum contest nowhere. And that's why I say, don't get off in the bump the gum contest. Let them stretch out, get out the way, and continue in the word of Yahweh. That's the game changer right there. Make sure you got your Yahweh right. Verse 17 and 18.
Verse 17, verse number 18. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 17 reads, "And their word will eat as do a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, verse 18, who concerning the truth.
You ever seen a canker be eating in the trees, how they leave them with strange little marks? That's how they words to eat, like a canker on you. Like you get one of them little
canker worms.
They're eating that, you know, and that's, it'd be sometimes on the side of your lip. They're like it's eating that. So you got to, there's so much you got to understand to recognize who's going to be in this battle for Yahweh. You got to make sure Yahweh is leading the way on what you're doing. You're not doing it for your better half or nobody else. Your better half understands. Program, she goes, "Know one thing, what can I get in and fit in with you? Where can I get in and fit in with you? To where I got to get through is through you. I'm not trying to compete with you. I got to be with you so I can get my salvation through you." See, that's the game changer. Verse 18
reads, "Who concerning the truth hath erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrew the covenant of some."
And that's what they undid. So, but we got to be clear how we got to operate through the manuscript. And where we got to operate is Isaiah chapter 8:16 and 20 there. Titus, what it say?
All right, we're going to the book Isaiah, chapter 8. The book Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 16 to 20. Isaiah, this year, chapter 8, verse 16. Bind up the covenant, seal the law among my disciples. Verse 17. And I will wait upon Yahweh. That high
10 and 20.
Or 16
hold on there, young lion. 16 and verse 20.
Okay. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 16 and verse 20. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 16. Bind up the covenant, seal the law among my disciples. Verse 20. To the law and to the covenant, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them.
Mm. When you got a better hand, that's why you go rehearse the righteous act. Now, as you drop that verse down, sometimes you might be looking for something. If they purpose is focused in on you, knowing that's their salvation, if you get caught up in the tight, that's what they're supposed to. You're supposed to ask your better half work because you're supposed to be all the prepared to help you in your needs or you, when you need something. That's what you look for in a better half. Now, we drop the verse on the 8 verse 20. Now, where's the precept to 8 verse 20? Well, you just got to read. Now, who want to give me the precept to 8 verse 20? Because we just heard it read again. Read that verse again, verse 20. And what can we precept this at? Read again. 8, verse 20.
Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the covenant, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
So they use the word called hermeneutics. We already clear that you try to impress us with words, you Bible don't operate like that. You gotta use the law and the testimony. If you'll use the law and the testimony, it's no light in you. So what is you really saying when you precept the Bible on them taking you that way by saying you gotta use the law and the testimony? What would you go right off the top if you wanna just go ahead and, you know, and gang bang them real good and get to the next person? What would you go right away? Who got the answer? Read them of the 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 8. See, all these come, it'll come to you. It'll come to you. Once you're in with Yahweh, you rehearse the righteous act. You rehearse the righteous act that you better have. You throw it back and forward, back and forward. And then when the time I need it, it'll come right up. By using the law and the testimony, if you don't use it, ain't no light in you. What that supposed to mean? Your precept, your Bible. 1 John, right side of the book, Mother E. Chapter 1, 5 through 8. Precept the Bible. Tell you what it means by no light in you. What it mean, Mother?
1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that Yahweh is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we do lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Yahweh the Son is but the blood of Yahweh the Son cleanse us from all sin. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Mm-hmm. So you see, you can have them cringing. You can make them cringe if you read a pop some Bible. Read verse 7 again, Mother.
1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Yahweh the Son cleanse us from all sin.
Here the blood of Yahweh the Son cleanse us. So while we following with Yahweh, then the blood of Yahweh. And so what is he saying? What is he saying that we can read? Give me 9:22, that mother Hebrews. What is he saying? In 9:22, what is he saying? So what is he saying in Hebrews 9:22? Yeah, Hebrews 9:22. What is he saying? What is he saying in 9:22 of Hebrews?
He says that. Hebrews.
Back to what Brother and Saint and James 1:21-25. Had that waiting on the young line. Brother Kaya, James chapter 1. 21-25.
I had
to waiting on it.
Book of Hebrews chapter 9. What did it say? Book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with the blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission.
So if you're doing a law, his sharing the blood will help you. But if you ain't doing the law, his sharing the blood don't do you no good, because he shed his blood for you to keep the law, and not the animal law. He for you keep the law. If he gave you a law the Sabbath day, sundown, Friday, sundown, Saturday, that law you're not keeping. He ain't shed no blood for you. Those that gonna keep the law, but Christians say a law done away with. He tell you, well, no, that's not true. They don't know what law done away with. Kill the animals. When he's blood, but you do keep the law. The law of thou shalt not. The law of wearing fringes. Them laws that he wants you to keep. So if you ain't keeping them laws, then he ain't shed no blood for you. Because the woman who never knew who he were over there in the 9th chapter, Titus, she never knew who he were if he didn't have the sign on him. If he didn't have a mark on him, never had a clue who he were. But by him having the mark on in the 9th chapter, see, he had a mark because she had some on her mind. She been paying a whole lot of money to Doc Cook. Doc Cook ain't done nothing for her but taking her money. But her mind was on something. So she was looking for something. The 9th chapter, verse 18, let's talk about her mindset. Take it down to verse 22. Come on.
Okay, we're going to what book?
Matthew chapter 9, 18 down to verse 22.
Book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 18.
Hold on, young line. And young line, I look up the word called him. What that word mean? Give me a definition once this word on the page. The one thing about it, you can't take nothing for granted. And then I want that precept of Brother Micaiah. And I want that precept on that same word. With another scripture, I want a precept on it. Go ahead, now, young man.
Book of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 18 to 22. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hand upon her, and she shall live. Verse 19. And Yahweh the Son arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment.
But hold that point right there. A young lion, Bob Makai, what that word, he touched the hem of his garment. What that pose means? He came behind him. She had an issue of blood, been in trouble for a long time. But she found a man had on, and she touched the hem of his. What did she just touch there, young lion, Bob Makai? What she touched?
I'm reading from the Compact Bible Dictionary on page 224. I'm looking up hem of a garment. Fringe on the borders of Yah-Yah Judah, outer garment.
Excellent. Outer garment. Fringes. So the man of the hour, Yahuwah the Son, he wore what? Fringes. And she said, otherwise, when you read the word him, it's posing the fringes there. If I can touch the fringes. So that's why we be telling you it's so important to have on fringes, because the blessing is in the fringes. Now hold that point of, Brother Makai, give me a precept. Mark 6:56. A precept.
All right. We're going to the book of Mark. We're going to chapter 6. We're going to pick it up at verse number 56.
Yeah.
Book of Mark. Book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 56:3. And whethersoever he enters into the villages of the city or the country, it's not what you want. Yeah, the cities of the country, and they laid the sick on the streets and besought him that they might touch if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole.
What was on her mind by her wanting want to make sure her last breath, if I just can touch them fringes. So what does she say in writing about touching them fringes?
Okay, what she said in writing?
21.
Yeah. Read what she said. Yeah, read what she said in her mind.
For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I should be whole.
Hallelujah.
So she said in her mind, if I just can touch them, the garments with them fringes on, with the ribbon of blue, I'm going to be made whole. And you got to put in some if you know how to get back to it when they say that's not in there. So the reason why she, why you can insert it in there, if I can touch the ribbon of them blue with them fringes on, and they're going to tell you it's not in there. But then Mother E going to come back and say, well, according to the 15th chapter, verse 37 through 39, yeah, keep waiting on them. But we're going to start it in there. We're going to spice up the conversation with those unbelievers. Spice it up. You're going to read into that, but you're going to be knowing how to get to 15 chapter, verse 37 to 39. And then write that Mother East Numbers.
The book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 37 to 39.
Mm-hmm.
Book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 37. And the Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, 38, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them, that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringes of the border a ribbon of blue. Verse 39. And it shall be unto you for a friend, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of Yahweh and do them, and that you seek not after your own mind and your own eyes, after which you used to go a whoring.
Mm-hmm. You see? So we got no problem in certain end branches with a ribbon of blue on it. She's saying that she can touch them fringes with the ribbon of blue on it, that man in them garments, we know in my mind how it'll be made whole. So she believes. So you can put all that in there as if you ain't fumbling around and you can't get to these verses. Now, if you can't get to none of these verses, then you might as well just play their game. But if you able to get this stuff right here, now you're going to shut them all down by understanding why I got these fringes on. Because the best is in the fringe, because it's all up on your mighty one. And Brother Micaiah, and I want to take a look at Leviticus chapter 21, and something else is in order. See, the reason why we're being in today is something else is in order that's written in Leviticus 21, 1 through 15. We're going to see, can we analyze what's written there, Brother Micaiah? In the book of Leviticus, chapter 21, 1 through 15, listen to this right here and tell me after this is read, when would y'all stop and jump into some of this? And what I'm going to know, when you get started reading this 21, verse 1, I just want to know when will those of the young lions jump in and say, wait a minute, I got to stop and hit, then come back to something. So, in the first chapter, just for a reading, I want to see when will a young lion jump in, and the mothers, we're going to be all ears. When would you jump in on any of this right here? 21, pick up verse 1, and read with it. Come on.
Okay. The book of Leviticus, chapter 21, verse 1 down to verse 15. Verse 1, read. And the Yahweh said unto Moses, speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, this here. Say unto them, there shall none be defiled for the dead among his people. Verse 2, but for his kin, that is near unto him, that is for his mother, and for his father, and for his son, and for his daughter, and for his brother. Verse 3, and for his sister, a virgin, that is near unto him, which have had no husband, for her may be, for her may he be defiled. Verse 4. But he should not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. Verse 5. They shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cutting in their flesh. Verse 6. They shall be righteous unto their Yahuwah, and not profane the name of their Yahuwah, for the offerings of the Yahuwah made by fire, and the bread of their Yahuwah, they do offer. Therefore they shall be righteous.
Yeah, hold that point. I'll tie this up. Read this verse again, and while you said it in verse 4, you said something in verse 4.
Leviticus chapter 21, verse 4.
Yeah, what do you say in verse 4?
Leviticus chapter 21, verse 4. For he should not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself.
So who is the chief man, according to verse 1 now? Read verse 1. Who is the chief man?
Verse 1.
Read verse 1.
Verse 1 reads, Leviticus 21, verse 1. And Yahuwah spake unto Moses, speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and said to them, there should none be defiled for the dead among his people.
Because leadership is what, according to verse 21? Leadership
chief
is who?
Man. Chief man.
And that's, yeah. So understand that position, once you're in, you got to understand from this, that you are one of the chief men of leadership. So you can't just bow. You got to make sure you can't talk that you got to live this. You got to make sure you right, because you are one of the chief men. Be by in that position, you got to make sure you right. Make sure you govern yourself among under the YHWH man, and understand your position being one of the chief men. So you got to make sure Bible driven, very important, because you want a chief man. Now, what's the precept to that chief man that we can read there, Mother? In the 41st chapter 8 through 10, let's find out about that in Isaiah, about these chief men. Let's see. On to the 41st chapter of the book of Isaiah 8 through 10, let's see where this chief men come from, the chief men. How did you get that position about being chief men? We go on to Isaiah 41, Mother. We look at verse 8 down to verse 10. Let's talk about it in Isaiah 41, 8 to 10, Mother.
Book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 8 to 10. Verse 8. But thus Israel, my servant, Israel whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Verse 9. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your Yahuwah. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
That's big talk there, Mama. So when Bob Micaiah read about these chief men, that was a nice precept introduction to put in. Who's these chief men that he made the chief men of? Because we could drop a name on it. Now you know that every name that's about the chief men, who he, I'm going to help you, I'm going to be with you, He always talking about a people. But there you notice but what's been asking about this about the minds of the day, he ain't said nothing about the Christian yet. He ain't said nothing about the Jehovah Witness yet. He ain't said nothing about the Catholic yet. He ain't said nothing about none of that stuff yet. He's talking about a specific people, showing them if you do right, because I'm with you, but you got to know that you who, according to what Mother read in 41 verse 8. You got to know that you who. He ain't said nothing about the church.
Amen.
You got to know that you who, according to 41 verse 8. You got to know that you who, according to 41 verse 8.
Yes,
Israel.
That's right. You got to know you are the children of Israel. You are the children of the covenant. See, that's why you start make the Brussels sprouts spring up. You have to know. He said, I'm with the children of Israel. But I'm not with the old stuff y'all got going on. No, hermeneutics and the church and our Lord Jesus Christ is the rock. With none of that kind of stuff. He's trying to tell you who he with, but this is how you what you gotta conduct yourself to know who you are. You ain't trying to get like them or like we heard last night, how many lives matter, black life, brown life, yellow life, all that stuff matter. No, what matters to Yahweh is the children of Israel. What matters to him knowing who you are and your responsibility. That is the platform. If we go to the platform, that what we ain't trying to get none of your approval.
Yeah, well.
We're trying to show the people that you call an African American Negro in this day month, it's the chief men, the children of Israel of Yahweh. That's who you really are. That's the message. We don't want to give you a platform to make us at all. If we go on the platform, we're going to tell you that the ones out there, you the chief men, but you on the wrong day, Keith Mins. You can't go wrong and get a paycheck. You got to do right to get a paycheck. Your paycheck you want is starvation. And you're doing everything wrong. Every move you're making is wrong. Although you're in a great big old mega church. Everything you're doing is wrong. And that's what I got to take yesterday. Everything you're doing is wrong. That's what I will make you uncomfortable. But we make a lot of them that's hearing it saying, wow, we never heard that before. See, that's the point we make. So if we come on your platform, we're not coming to please you. We come to please you. But we got to be prepared to come on your platform and show you every point that the leaders have showed you is wrong. And they come in that last night tape that we know it all and out of us is not right. Now, you're right. A whole 99.9% of you is not right. Didn't tell you the Son, the Lord, God, you're not right. See? And you know, they ain't going to sit right with too many big dignitaries, period. Is that right? It's not right. All right, good enough. Come on back, young line. We'll tuck that verse forward real a bit more. Now you... Where you at now?
Okay. We're coming back to the book of Leviticus.
Take it at verse 5.
All right. We come back to the book of Leviticus, chapter 21, verse number 5. Verse 5 reads, they shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cutting in their flesh. Verse 6.
Okay.
They shall be righteous unto their Yahuwah, and not profane the name of their Yahuwah. For the offering of Yahuwah made by fire, and the bread of their Yahuwah, they do offer. Therefore, they shall be righteous. Verse number 7.
Hold that point. Mm-hmm. Now see, remember, he having Moses to instruct the leadership through Aaron and let his sons know, this is how you got to conduct yourself. Now he laying down the blueprint on how you got to conduct yourself. And, you know, and one thing about it being a Catholic Church member, you can't have this and you can't have that. But look what he's saying to tell Moses, tell Aaron and his sons in verse 6. Watch it. Now watch the conversation in verse 6. Watch this.
Okay, the book of Leviticus, chapter 21, verse number 6. Verse 6, read.
Now make it 7. Now make it 7. Thank you, young lion. Make it 7.
All right. We're going down to the book of Leviticus, chapter 21, verse number 7. Verse 7 reads, they should not take a wife that is a whore or profane. Neither should they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is righteous unto his Yahweh.
But who's he telling that to in verse 1? Who are you telling this to in verse 1?
The book of Leviticus, chapter 21, verse 1 reads, and Yahweh said unto Moses, speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and still, and say unto them, there shall none be found.
Good. Good. So we clear that he's talking to, see, leadership got to conduct themselves in a different manner. So they have to know what this man is. And when you sit there to show them about relationships, you have to be able to show them the Bible says about relationships. See, this is what we don't come to. You have to show what the Bible is saying. See, once you clear what the Bible is saying, then you got your Yahweh over you, because he's giving instructions to Moses and Aaron to get him to go on personal your bedroom and tell you what to make sure you have with you in your bedroom. Huh? It tells you something. How you supposed to conduct yourself. That's verse 7. And what he says in verse 8? Did he tell you something in verse 8? What he say in verse 8?
The book of Leviticus, chapter 21, verse number 8, verse 8 reads, you shall sanctify him, therefore, for he offered the bread of your Yahweh. He shall be righteous unto you, for I, the Yahweh, will sanctify you, him, righteous.
Still talking, verse 9.
Verse 9. And the daughter of your priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profaned her father, she shall be burnt with fire.
So he leadership to make sure they lead by example. Because when they do come in and sit around and say, well, you know, I think this is what I want to do with such person, you have to make sure you bring all this to the table. You know, this got to be well understood on what's going on. You know, you got to have this information. What verse 10 say? Now watch him up down in verse 10.
Verse 10. And he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garment, shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 11. Mm-hmm. Neither shall he go into any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or for his mother. Verse 12. Mm-hmm. Neither shall he go out of the temple, nor profane the temple of his Yahweh, for the crown of the anointing or of his Yahweh is upon him. I am the Yahweh. Verse 13. For he shall take a wife in her virginity. Verse 14. A widow or a divorced woman or profane or an harlot, these shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. Verse 15. Neither shall he profane his seed among.
Read 14 again.
Verse 14. A widow or a divorced woman or profane or an harlot, these shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife.
What does it say?
Verse 15. Neither shall he profane his seed among his people, for I, the Yahweh, do sanctify him.
So, that's pretty good talk there. And Brother Titus, let's read where it talks about in Book of Exodus, chapter 41-43. So now, so this stuff you got to study this stuff right here. You got to study this stuff before the floodgates come. You got to study this stuff, rehearse these righteous acts when time to come. Good. Now, in the book of Exodus 28 there, young lion, verse 41-43.
The book of Exodus, chapter 28, verses 41-43. Exodus chapter 28, verse 41. And you should put them upon Aaron your brother and his sons with him, and shall anoint him, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Verse 42, you shall make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. Verse 43, and they should be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come into the temple of the congregation of Israel, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the righteous place, that they bear not sin and die. This should be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him.
So what is he saying there? So what is he saying besides I'm just reading that? What is he saying in what is he saying in 28:41-43? What is he saying? What is he saying? Although we're reading it, but what is he saying?
He's speaking to the anointed leaders, anointed leadership. Aaron and his brother. How they supposed to conduct themselves?
And the sons. His brother is Moses. No, he talking to Aaron and his sons.
Aaron and his sons.
What is he saying here in 41-43? What is he saying?
What he's saying is that go ahead, Brother Titus. I'm listening.
What he's saying is, so he's speaking to Aaron's sons, how they supposed to conduct themselves and knowing the leadership. Okay. So according to these verses, they're supposed to make linen breeches, what we know is jeans or pants today, to cover their nakedness. And they tie Sharif, so they're supposed to cover their nakedness over there by wearing pants.
When?
Okay, when? All right.
Yeah, call that verse.
Okay.
Yeah, when people do this?
Where they supposed to do this? Where they coming to the when they supposed to come to minister? When they coming to the before they come to the temple?
Oh, okay. It took you so long to try to say it. Although Mother Zion already said, please. I'm hearing you, Mother. But Mother Zion call out. You look at. She's looking at. I see now. I'm about to go and get my get my belt off, because I'm going to beat me some backs one of these weeks real soon. So I see that now. But she was already calling it out there, but you're taking too long, young line, to come up with this answer. Now, precept that to the 44th chapter there. Young line, Brother Titus, pick up verse 15 on verse 24. Hey, Mother E, have me Mark chapter 11, 10 through 5. Wait a moment. I mean 5 through 10. What it says, and we'll get a precept on what you just got through reading there, young line, and maybe it'll kind of clear up even better. In the fourth chapter, remember, when you want to clear up something real good, you have to go to the precept. So now we was in 28, 41 through 43, showing you that when you on the clock to minister to do any tip of business work, ministry or whatever, how you have to make sure you got your garments and your fringes on and all that good stuff. We see that. So now we're going to get a second witness by going to the 44th chapter, verse 15. And that's why we tell it's so important to understand if you want the blessing of Yahweh, we have to follow his rules. You know, a lot of people might say, well, what's the dress code to come to the ministry? Well, we're just going to tell you what he requires you to respond to what he requires. In the 44th chapter, 15 on verse 24 says what?
The book of Ezekiel.
The title?
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, verse 15 to 24. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 15. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Dada, that kept the charge of my temple, and when the children of Israel went astray from me, they should come near to me to minister unto me. They should stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, said Yahweh. Verse 16. They should enter to my temple, and they should come near to my table to minister unto me, and they should keep my charge. Verse 17. And it should come to pass when they enter in at the gate of the inner court, they should be clothed with linen garments, and no wound should come upon them while they minister in the gate of the inner court and within. Verse 18. And they should have linen mitre upon their head. They shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They should not girth themselves with anything that causes sweat. Verse 18. Verse 19. And when they go forth into the other court, even to the other court to the people, they should put off their garments wherein they minister, and lay them in the righteous chambers. They should put on other garments, and they should not sanctify the people with their garments. Verse 20. Neither should they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They should only poll their heads. Verse 21. Neither should any priest drink wine when he enters to the inner court. Verse 22. Neither should they take for their wives a widow or her that is put away, but they should take maidens of the seed of the nation of Israel for a widow that had a priest before. Verse 23. And they should teach my people the distance between the righteous and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Verse 24. In the controversy, they should stand in judgment, and they should judge it according to my judgment, and they should keep my laws and my statutes and all my assemblies, and they should sanctify my Sabbaths.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of good talking there, but for time's sake, we're just gonna move on. But he was learning that what you got to study to be off into leadership, certain things you have to know. You got to have your Yahweh before you to govern you in decision. You make your decision according to what Yahweh got in his writing. So that's how you mm-hmm. make a decision according to what he have already laid out for you. And that's why we have to make sure we lay out the program of Yahweh and see if we want to do his program the way he got it written. That's the way you'll get your blessing. So Mark chapter 11 there, Mother E, what do 5 through 10 say?
Mark chapter 11, verses 5 to 10. Verse 5 reads, And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do you loosen the coat? Verse 6. And they said unto them, even as Yahweh the Son has commanded, and they let him go. Verse 7. And they brought the coat to Yahweh the Son and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. Verse 8. And many spreaded their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees and fell through them in the way. Verse 9. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Yahweh. Verse 10. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that come in the name of the Yahweh. Hosanna in the height.
What did the people do? What's so important about what we just got to read? Who want to answer that? What did they do? What did they do when they seen Tim?
What did they do? Well, they started when they did.
What did they do?
Okay, they they got him an ass, but one of the things they had done, I noticed, was they had taken off their garments and cast it on the ass so he can sit on it.
So what you're saying that the children of Israel they the dudes in skinny jeans, is that what you're trying to tell me?
They had garments on.
Yeah, that's garments on. And when you come into the temple where Yahweh was heading to, that's what he had on, garments. They wore garments. So the garments and them fringes are just a calling card for the children of Israel. See, that's why you got to know your culture. You got to know your culture. You got to know your nationality, your culture. See, you was recognized through your garments, your fringes. And then you were looking for the person that had told her same thing you had. They knew one thing. If they can bump themselves with you, they can get the blessing they need because the blessing in these fringes. So it's very important to understand something. Our culture, our nationality is us wearing the fringes and the ribbons of blue. That's what we did to receive our blessing. Now we met and said, well, I got to wear, I'm coming to, but you got to have on some fringes. Well, that sounds like other organization. No. We talking about the Bible now. See, you want to do that because the blessing is in the fringes. But we got to make sure we understand that. It's not that we try to show you no dress code. We just showing you where your blessing is at. Your blessing is in the fringes. That's the point we trying to show you. The blessing is in the fringes. And that is our culture. That's our nationality. Wearing them good old fringes. That's how we roll in the Bible. I want to make a little slight, because something I heard that big dictator say about that church. He said something about don't lead a church. And but I want to find out what you talking about. Don't lead a church. So you got plenty of churches. You got the Catholic Church. You got Latter-day Church. You got, what are you talking about? We can go in the Bible and see if we find out what this word church means that we can read with due precepting. We're going to take a look at something. In Acts chapter 7, then we want to put our heads together and see how we're going to get up out of this. But read the way you see it, because this is where they're going to go. Acts 7, 22, 23, 35 through 38 there, Brother Micaiah. And then take it down to 1 Peter. I want to get some words on the table. I want to find out from the one page, what is he talking about? Read the way you see in Acts chapter 7, 22, 23, 35 through 38. Then go right to 1 Peter chapter 5, 13, and let's expound on what we hearing here before we go up. Turn the clock, come on.
Okay, I'm going over here to the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. We're going to skip down to read 35 down to 38. Then we're going to run over to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. The book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 22 reads, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds." Verse 23. "And when he was 40 years old, it came into his mind to visit his brother, the children of Israel." Verse 24. "And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian." Verse 35 reads, "This Moses whom they refused, saying, who made you ruler and a judge? The same did Yahweh send to be a ruler and deliverer by the hand of the angel, which appeared to him in the bush." Verse 36, "He bought them out after that he had showed wonder and signs in the land of the Egyptians and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. Verse 37, "This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a seer shall the Yahweh, your Yahweh, raise up unto you of your brother, like unto me, him shall you hear." Verse 38, "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our father, who received the lively oracle to give unto us."
Mm-hmm. All right. A church in the wilderness. 1 Peter chapter 5, 13.
Yes, sir. The book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 13. 13 reads, "The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, salute you, and so do Marcus, my son."
Mm-hmm. So now, this church was in the wilderness, and this church was at Babylon. Now, where will we go from there that we can read? Now it's back on those on stage. We found out now, according to Acts 7, 38, the church was in the wilderness, and then in Peter 5:13, the church not only was in the wilderness, it even ended up at Babylon, in Babylon. The church got to Babylon. So now, we read this, what's going on that we can, what can we do with this right here? The church in the wilderness, the church is at Babylon. What's that supposed to mean?
Okay. And then we can go, try to do some precepting in our Bible. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do some precepting. We're going to go back and find out who was in this wilderness that we can read. And we can go back and read Exodus chapter 17, verse 1, and find out who was in the wilderness.
Yeah, we know who was in the wilderness. We know who was in the wilderness. The church was in the wilderness. So we want to find out about this word right here, this word church. We know the church was in the wilderness. So we read the church was in the wilderness. So now you say you want to precept that to the 17th chapter? Uh-huh. So let's see what you're working with, young lion.
Okay. We'll go precept to Exodus chapter 17, read verse number 1, and see about this church that was in the wilderness. So we're reading, it says, the book of Exodus chapter 17, verse number 1 reads, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journey from the wilderness of Sinai, of sin, the wilderness of sin.
Good, good. So we find out this word church don't belong there. That word is a polluted, a replacement word for what that was in the wilderness?
The congregation of the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now let the
on stage precept that, and where we go with the precept that at? Now let's precept that. Let's see not only when you bring the 17:1 in there, now you have to throw a precept in there because you're following destruction. Now this is where the ball game at. Once you got the 17:1 out the way, now what would you precept that at to seal the deal? What would you go and precept that to seal the deal?
Okay,
that the church goes in the wilderness, the children of Israel. Now we want to seal the deal. What would we go and seal the deal at?
All right. We can go seal the deal at Deuteronomy 1:1. And see who was in the wilderness.
He'll tell us about who in the wilderness?
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Let's hear it.
Let's read the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1. We can pick it up at verse number 1. Verse 1 reads, "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of Jordan in the wilderness."
Excellent. See, that's a precept. See, this is what we're saying. We not only when we show the verses, we got to show a precept. And like Mother Z said, now go to Joshua chapter 14, verse 10, and tighten it up too. Now go to Joshua 14, verse 10. See, this is how you set one. The only way you're going to chase 1,000 is through the precepts. If you don't precept it, then you're going to lose because you're going to be 1,000 against you. Then whoever you with, maybe your reader, whatever you with, that's all you need. Let's go to Joshua 14, verse 10.
All right. In the book of Joshua, chapter 14. So you want verse number 10? Verse 10 reads.
Yes, sir.
"And now behold," huh? Okay, the book of Joshua, chapter 14, verse number 10. Verse 10 reads, "And now behold, the Yahweh hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Yahweh spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness."
Ain't that something? See, now you see you're working with. See how Mother Z just keep working with you. She letting you know when you precept your Bible, that's it, the game sails up. So this church is in the wilderness, you're reading. We would say, I beg your apology, Mr. Preacher, but if you lead a church, no. You're talking about leading yourself. That word church is the whole congregation of children of Israel. That word is polluted, the word church. So this thing called the Catholic Church and the Latter-day Saints, that don't work when you stay in the Bible. That word church is a replacement for the children of Israel. But now we got another problem here in 1 Peter read about, in 5:13 about the church. Not only that, after it was in the wilderness, they ended up in Babylon. Church is in Babylon now. Now what are we going to do with that we can read? Oh, now we got the churches at Babylon. We read over in 5:13, the church that is at Babylon. Now, what are we going to do with that? Is we going to talk our way out of it? Or are we going to read our way out of it? See, we got plenty to talk about on the Tuesday night, how to, bring up those that's in that realm of anointing. You understand one thing? The only way you on one and chase 1,000, you can't get out of it unless you're precepting. If you try to go, You have to stop them there and now. Yeah, I heard that verse you just read, but what a precept to that verse said. So if they don't have nothing, then you give something. You got to precept your Bible. That's how I'm getting to understand it. So what about this 1 Peter 5:13? What we do with this? He said, the church that is at Babylon. Now what are we going to do? Remember, it's 1,000 against you and the one you got to read. You got to read it with you and yourself. Now, you got 1,000 out there growl at you about this church. You got a church home? Come to your church home. Lord God and Jesus. And we found out that Lord God and Jesus, they say that don't really work. The scholars told you that in the beginning of the tape. That don't work. You don't know where that Yahweh comes from. Where these made up words, Jehovah and Yahweh come from. They tell it on themselves. So we might as well just continue and nail the coffin all my way down. But what about this church at Babylon? Where are we going? Where are we going with this churches at Babylon? Where are we going? I mean, is it cricket time or what? Where are we going? Crickets? Where are we going? The church at Babylon. Where are we going?
I got something to kick it off with. I know we can go read in Jeremiah. And we can pick it up at chapter 51, and we can read verse 1 and verse 2.
Okay, but I tell you what, before you read that, let Mother E catch it in Jeremiah 39, verse 6 and 7. Then let Mother E step down to verse 41 and 7. Let's catch it there. Then whatever you put in after that going to be a overkill. You know, it'll be otherwise. You know, you're going to really just kind of sludge hammer. You know, like the cat on already got the mouse already dazed. He can't get back to his hole. Y'all already dazed him real good. Let Mother E go and daze him real good by going to Jeremiah 39, verse number 6 and 7. Come on, then, Mother. Come on, daze him real good. We'll bring in the young lion. Jeremiah 39, verse 6, 7, then swing right down to verse 40. 1 and 7. Then the young lion going to bring the overkill in. Come on.
Okay. Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 6 and verse 7. Verse 6 reads, Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah and Regiman before he
died.
Zedekiah. Verse 6. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah and Rehum before his eyes. Also, the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Yahdai Judah. Verse 7. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. Verse 40.
So right there and there, we found out that the big dignitaries of, you know, the leadership of Judah, where did they go? Where was the big... The king and all the big dignitaries, what did they go to?
They were
taken away. What was the big dignitaries of Zedekiah, you know, he's the king, and all the rest of them was the nobles. The nobles, that mean the bloodline. That what the nobles was, the bloodline of Judah. They all were taken where?
Babylon.
According to
Babylon.
They taken to Babylon, huh? So when we read that first chapter 5:13, that word church is talking about the nobles of Judah that were taken to Babylon. You see that? The nobles of Judah were taken to Babylon. Is that what we're reading here?
What we read.
So it's the nobles of Judah that was taken to Babylon. So that Babylon, that church you talking about the nobles of Judah. Is that what we're reading here?
Hallelujah.
Is that what we're reading?
Is that what we're reading? 40. Jeremiah 40, verse 1 and 7.
Yes, ma'am.
Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 1 and verse 7. Verse 1. The word that comes to Jeremiah from the Yahweh after death, the Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, and he had when he had taken him, being bound in chains, among all that were carried away, captives of Yahweh Judah and Judah, which were carried away captive unto Babylon.
Oh yeah. So far that church that they read in First Peter. That was at Babylon. Who was the church mother? At who was really there at Babylon?
Yahweh Judah and Israel. Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Yahweh. So that's why I said word. The church is not gonna hold up. It's not gonna hold up. Now what happened in verse 7, mother?
Verse 7. Now when all the captains of the force which were in the field, even they and their men heard that the king of Babylon had made Gilead, the son of Achan, governor in the land, and had committed unto him men and women and children, and of the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon.
So they made sure they took all your brains away from you. They left they left the poor and the one that, you know, but they made sure that who went to Babylon, you remember he read in that teaching yesterday that he left, that the blacks was the one that went into captivity, was the one that was not the poor that went off into captivity, Brother Micaiah. So the part that he was leaving out is what he didn't say. He didn't talk about the 90th chapter of Timbuktu. Babylon, Timbuktu, that young lion, Micaiah. See, the part that he said, yeah,
what?
Said about, but he put just in short, but not the name on who that was taken into captivity and all that. He about until him just grabbing Babylon of Timbuktu by Rudolph R. Winslow and turn to page 90 and pick it up where it says the black who? What are you saying about we had a little something going on in the brain, the people, the African American, I don't know how the guy he said it now, but he didn't, but he read that they were smarter than that he thought, except today, he was telling that we had this opposition, but all he had to do was just turn to from Babylon to Timbuktu and look at page 90, where it says and show you what's going on. The black. What about the blacks that we can read there? About the blacks, let's read a little bit about them.
Okay, turn over to Babylon. From Babylon to Timbuktu, page 90. Reading in third paragraph, page 90 read. The black Yahweh Judah had an advantage over the African tribes. They carried their culture, history, laws, and written records with them. This assured them a constant precedent for the development of a higher social organization. Because of the stability of the black Yahweh Judah culture, the Yahweh Judah were not absorbed into the Anto-continent population. In fact, the Yada Judah absorbed some of the native tribes. Yada Judah made use of every opportunity. They were an industrious and skillful people. In Yada Judah, Gani, states were found kings, princes, governors, generals, secretaries, treasurers, revenue, agents, judges, architects, engineers, doctors, historians, language interpreters, math magicians, jewelers, sculptors, masons, carpenters, painters of art, goldsmiths, leather workers, potters, armorers, saddlers, blacksmiths, agriculturists, etc.
So you see, Paul, see, that's the audience of the people in the, they call it a Black History Month. Why don't you just, you know, you can, you know, we get the calls that to say, well, if you bring something to the platform, but we got to make sure when our time appointed, it will come. We got to make sure we able to bring and expose the leadership, all in you know, it up under the will of Yahweh, and show them exactly, you know, hey, you had all this, and you wasn't taught to do no reading or writing. You just didn't know English because English is a new bastard language that just was created.
Wow.
But everything else, we know how to read, write, and make sure they fall in pyramids. Even in Europe, Hispanic land,
mm-hmm.
America, land. I mean, and they was the same measurement. So they knew all about geography. They knew about all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we going to tell a story, but we got to make sure we get this down pat to get a tell a story. Not agreeing with anything, but the book saying, we ain't debating nobody. We're going to tell you what Yahweh is saying, take it from there with the precept. So we got to get this thing down pat. That's what I'm saying. And always get pat you how to meet them where they at and deal with the precepts. That's what we got to do. Now, so we found out that the children of Israel, they was the one, Judah, that's the one was in Babylon. So when Peter was writing about the church in Babylon, he was talking about who? Who's he talking about there, young lions? Who was he talking about?
The tribe of Yada Judah, children of Israel.
So that is the church. Northern kingdom, they've been gone. They were bit off. They all out of order everywhere, so they can't come back right until we get back right. So we know you're talking about Yada Judah. So mother and Ephesians' mother. Look at one down at the fourth chapter, 1-6. And brother, let's get down to, give me 1-6. Brother Titus, tell me 11-14. Then just throw right over to Hebrews 13, verse 8 and 9. And Brother Makai, help me 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1, and with a precept coming all the way back to, Book of Numbers chapter 1, 16 through 18. See, they knew these days was coming. And these days is here now. And what you got to be up on the Yahweh, and when it's time to deliver, put yourself according to the Bible, it will be just you and whoever with you to do the reading. A thousand are going to be against you. But guess what? Yahweh is with you. That's the game changer. That's what we got to hit down pat. And we got to make sure we understand we can't have nobody juggling at us left or right. Either you with me or, hey, Mother E, give me 12, verse 30. Either you with me, Matthew 12, verse 30. You both tell them that whoever, either you with me, according to 12, verse 30, or what, Mother? Matthew 12, 30.
Okay. Let me get back there. Look at Matthew.
Yeah, what is that, Mother? Either you with me or what?
Okay. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30 reads, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters abroad."
Mm-hmm. So what you trying to tell him, mother? Hey, mother. Hey, mother, what you trying to tell him? What are you saying, mother?
If it's saying that if you ain't with him, you're against him. If you are not with me, you be scattered abroad.
Hallelujah. Otherwise, about your business. Either you're with me or going about your business. That's what you're saying. Either you're with me or going about your business. Go on about your long head, they'll say. Go on about your long head. Either you're with me or going about your long head. This big business you got to take care of. Be on the world scene. Matter of fact, a young line, where's we all... As we now, who all came to broadcast as we speak? That young line, Makai, can you talk to the national audience about who all came to broadcast as we speak?
Well, hallelujah. Why? Well, who's all came to broadcast right now? We know we live on Blog Talk. We also we tune in and live on Pal Talk. But you can also catch us on Voices of the True Israelites at VOTTY. Tribe Yada on as for YouTube. You can always catch the program on YouTube at VOTTY Tribe YHDA. You can also catch us on Facebook and look us up at VOTTY. You can catch any of the episodes on there. Go back and get your learning session in and just type those keys inside of YouTube, VOTTY Tribe YHDA, and type those keys into Facebook. VOTTY. Over to you, Sears.
Hallelujah. Well, and on that note, we're going to bring in Mother Z. Mother Z, listen, I got to give a commentary on this one. But what we done found out, that everything we've been taught, when it puts the Bible on it, shining light on it, it's not right. They talk about was the church at Babylon. That was the one you call African-American Negro.
Shalom, Sia Israel, Arroyo Seed, Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yahweh.
You want to lead them any kind of wisdom on tape 14, that Mother Z? You got any kind of wisdom for the national audience all over the world on tape 14? What kind of wisdom you want to lead them with? Come on.
Chapter 33 and 21. Ezekiel 33 and 21. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 21. Wait a minute, let's see. Okay. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 22. Yea, he said, the way of the Yahweh is not required of you, house of family of Israel. I will judge you, even everyone after his ways. Verse 21. And it And it come to pass in the 25th year of Abba captive in the 10th month, in the 15th day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Yada Judah came unto me, saying, the city is smitten. Verse 22, now the hands of the Yahweh was upon me in the evening, he that was escaped came and had opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was open, and I was no more dumb. Verse 23, then the words of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse 24, son of man, inhabit those watch waste of the land of Israel, speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherit the land, but we are many. The land is given us. We are. Wait a minute. Let me read that again. We are many. The land is given us for an inheritance. Verse 25. Wherefore said unto them, thus said the Yahweh, eat with the blood and lift up your eyes towards your olives and shed blood, and shall he possess the land. Verse 26, he stand up. Verse 26, he stand upon your sword. He work
the fire.
He stands upon your sword. He work abomination, and he defile everyone his neighbor's wife, and shall he possess the land. Verse 27, and I'm gonna stop right here. Saying, thus you unto them, thus said the Yahweh, as I live, surely you that are in the waste shall fall by the sword, and he and him that is in the open field will I give to them, to the beast, to be devoured, and they that be in the forest and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. Hallelujah.
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 It all will come out like it's told to come out. All right, that's Mother Z. Remember, Mother Z gonna be on tomorrow. It'll be with a fear. We'll be on Wednesday. Back on at Wednesday 6 o'clock. So now, Mother. She reached the all this talk about these churches and all these words that they use wrong. Amen. But we got to tell the people once to read this Bible. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 down to verse 6. And then in the closing statement. What it says that we can read, Mother, we'll catch you Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Ephesians chapter 1 down to... one down to verse 6. What we got to read? Ephesians 4, 1 down to verse 6. Closing statement. We'll catch you Wednesday night at 6 o'clock.
Look at Ephesians chapter 4. One to six.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 4, verse 1-6. Verse 1 reads, I therefore, the priest of the Yahweh, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5, one Yahweh, one faith, and one baptism. Verse 6, one Yahweh, the Son and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all.
One way. Either you'll go with the children of Israel in the wilderness and the name YHWH, and just gonna deal you off, he's gonna deal you off not correctly, because it ain't but one. So somebody got to be right. So if he's not right, that means you right, then we wrong. But we reading everything we saying, just break down that the word church is talking about Judah, as at Babylon. The word church in the wilderness talking about the whole 12 tribes in the wilderness. So now either we right, and we keep a day sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. You keep Sunday first day of the week. It ain't but one way to go. Either we go by the Bible or we you in on the show. So we got plenty of messages to come to help the platform, but we're saying that we gotta get prepared to do this. It's gonna happen. So we gotta get ready to make our platform spaces to show up at, but we got to be prepared. And remember, keep in your mind when you show up, see you and whoever you got with you. It's going to be 1,000, it's going to miss you. So you got to be word up and precept down. All right, there, mother. Closing statement, take your time, you on the clock, come on. Catch your wins tonight. Take your time and give us a powerful closing statement, come on.
Okay, I'm going to read Psalms chapter 111. And then we'll start at verse 2. The works of the Yahweh are great, thought out of all them that have fled to Satan. Verse 3. His works is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He that made his wonderful work to be remembered. The Yahweh is gracious and full of compassion. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Excellent, mother. Catch your mother's wings tonight for some more. B-O-T-T-Y. Now, y'all line, Brother Titus, taking his Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 through 14, and go over to Hebrews 13, 8, and 9, and we'll see where we at from that point right there. Come on.
Okay, so Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 to 14.
Yeah, that's fly right over to 13, through 13, 8 and 9. And Brother Makai, you have me that Matthew 13, 42 and 1 Chronicles 9, 1. Have that waiting on me after y'all lying. Come up with some air. Come on.
Book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 to 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained inheritance, bread, predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his honor, who first trusted in Yahweh the Son. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the covenant of our salvation, in whom also after that you believe. We are sealed with that righteous spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of his honor, the greatness. All right, we go on to the book of Hebrew, polluted word for the book of the Israelites, chapter 13, verse 8 and 9.
But when you got to read that, who you read that for? Your step on the national audience. When you just got to read that, who was you reading that for? Who was you reading that for, young line? Yourself or the national audience?
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 to 14.
Yeah. Who was you reading that for, yourself or national audience?
Not to edify myself. We got to edify those who's on the airwaves. Not to edify ourselves.
Hallelujah.
Are we not
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is so in the breakdown you just got through reading? What was the message in that 11 through 14? What was the message there? Now, mind, what was the message there? What was the message in that?
Okay, the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 to 14.
I mean, no. Who? Using 4, you read 4, 11 through 14. So what did you just got through bring out? What was the message in that?
I was reading Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 to 14. I supposed to read chapter 4, verse 11 to 14.
Yes. Four, verse 11
through
16.
I didn't read chapter 4. I read chapter 1 at Bethona. I'll read chapter 4, verse 11 to 14. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Yeah, I was on the wrong chapter. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some teachers, and some evangelists, and some teachers. All right, verse 12. For the perfection of the saints, for the work of your ministry, for the edifying of the body of Yahweh the Son. Verse 13. We all come in a unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Yahweh into a perfect man and to measure of the stature of the fullness of Yahweh the Son. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried away and carried about to every wind of teaching by the slaying of man and cunning craftiness, whereby we lie in wait to the sea.
Mm-hmm. What's that name?
All right.
What's that name?
That verse.
Yeah, what's that name?
So we can't be, once we give it So if you don't want to be carried away in every wind of teaching, being taught to or from every wind of teaching, that means being carried away in false teaching. Every different teaching, if it's not, it got to be, you don't want to be taught to or from to mean disembodied. You don't want to be get carried away every teaching. So you want to be, I mean, what crap is with the deepness. And to deceive means a false teaching. You don't want to be deceived in the craftiness of false teaching. Everywhere they're teaching. So.
Want to add something to that, Brother
Micaiah? Yeah, I add something on to what Brother Tyler was saying. I'm going to add on to this that we all know that everybody going to have different positions. What I got from this is when I was reading, he was talking about what he all gave us. He gave for the children of Israel, it's going to be people in positions. But the objective is of you being in your position is about edifying the body. Everybody coming in as one with one belief, one faith. But to edify the body and edify the ministry under Yahuwah the Son and Yahuwah the Father. So that's what I got from this. For all us to come together, be speaking of the same truth, for all us to be under one teaching, regardless of what positions that you're in, because there's going to be different positions inside of the body, but it's all for edifying the body of Yahuwah the Son and being in unity. That's what I got from it.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. All right there, young Lionel, give me that Hebrews chapter 13:8-9 and closing statement.
Book of this.
Give me that Hebrews verse 9, which is a precept to coming out of this Ephesians. We just want to get it from a higher level. And matter of fact, like you asked, pick up verse 23 with that, 23 on to verse 25. So in 13 chapter 8 and 9, then skip down to 23 on to verse 25 and close the statement. What did it say there, young line?
All right, the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 8 and 9, and skip down verse 23-25.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Yahuwah the Son, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. Verse 9. Be not carried away about the diverse and strange teaching. But it's a good thing that the mind be established with grace, not with meat, who have not profited them and have been occupied therein. Give down verse 23-25. Notice that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Verse 24. Salute all them that have the rule over you. And all the saints, they officially salute you. Verse 25. Grace be unto you all. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. What's the closing statement behind that, young line?
I'm going to, all right. Okay. All right. I'm going to Sirach chapter 3. Go to Sirach chapter 3. Verse 29. The man of the prudent would understand a parable, and the attentive ear is of the desire of a wise man. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look at 13 verse that same Hebrew. What did 13:20 say?
Okay. The book of Hebrews, book of Israelites, chapter 13, verse number 20. Verse 20 read. Now, the Yahuwah of peace
that bought again. Verse 20. Now, the Yahuwah the Father of peace that bought again from the dead, our Yahuwah the Son, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant.
So he brought it back through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Can you read me the Hebrews 9:22 one more time again? That blood of the everlasting covenant.
All right.
It covered them. So that blood of the everlasting covenant is what we talking about in 9:22 of Hebrews.
Okay, the book of Hebrews, the book of the Israelites, chapter 9, verse 22. Verse 22 reads, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding the blood is no remission of sin.
So he said, oh, you ain't got the law of this covenant. His blood for you is no never mind. So you got to have the law that is not done away with, because he shed blood for you to get back up the law of the covenant. So that's the reason he shed his blood for those that want to get up under the law of his covenant. His law is call him Lord God and Jesus, keep Sunday. The blood of covenant for you to wear fringes and keep the Sabbath day. And these feast days is coming up shortly. So all this is about the law of the covenant. He says blood, everlasting law of the covenant of you coming back to the covenant. And that's why he's sending the six anointed camps to bring you back to the covenant. And when you talking, you have to be clear what you're talking about. You're not talking about no church. You're not talking about come together as one up under what? Of your nationality and your culture. Because children of Israel made it plain there, young lion, in the book of Numbers chapter 1, 16 to 18, this is something you supposed to sit around the table talking about in Numbers chapter 1, 16 down to verse 18, backed up with 1 Chronicles 9:1, and take it back to James chapter 1, verse 21 to 25. Let's see what's going on there, young lion.
All right. The book of Numbers, chapter 1, verse 16 down to verse 18. Verse 16 reads, these were the renowned of the congregation, princes of the tribe of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel. Verse 17. And Moses and Aaron the seer took these men, which are expressed by their name. Verse 18. And they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigree after their family, by the family of their father, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward by their poll. Going over to the book of First Chronicles.
So when you sit around and come to these lectures, we have to bring to the peoples that it's no such thing to us as no Black African American Negro month. See, we're not Negro, Black African American Negroes. We try to bring back your nationality and your culture. We're going to tell you who you are. And we don't care. And once you find out who you are, then you can find out that somebody has been identity theft in you. And then you better correct yourself for the return of Yahuwah. See, we're not talking about I'm for the Black Lives Matter, Red Lives Matter, and all that stuff. No. I was on the children of Israel that matters. 12 tribes of Israel, that was matter. And we got to know who we are and get off these bad, wrong days and put some fringes on. So we find out when you sit around those of your people, you're supposed to declare your bloodline. You're supposed to declare your bloodline is not a religion called Christian. You're supposed to declare your bloodline. Remember what it said now again in 1 Chronicles 9:1. And remember what we read over there in 1 Peter chapter 5:13. It said the church was at Babylon. But then we find out by reading Chronicles 9:1, I beg the difference, come on.
We're going over to the book of First Chronicles, chapter 9, verse number 1, read. So all Israel were reckoned by genealogy, and behold, they were written in the book of the kings of Israel, Yada Judah, who were carried away to Babylon for their sin.
So who was carried away to Babylon for their sin? Who was carried away? What church was carried away for their sin? See, that's what I'm saying. You got to look, the leaders will have to understand one thing. This thing is talking about you got to be sit around and talk your pedigree, your bloodline. Because now you know who was carried away for their sin. Was who again in 9-1?
The book of First Chronicles, chapter 9, verse number 1. Verse number 1 reads, so all Israel were reckoned by genealogy, and behold, they were written in the book of the kings of Israel, and Yada Judah, who were carried away to Babylon for their sins.
You see that? So, in James chapter 1, verse 21 down to verse 5. Can you help me out there, young lion? Can we read
the book of James?
The 1, verse 21 to 25. Give me that Matthew 13:52 and the closing statement. Take your time on your closing statement.
All right. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 21 down to verse 25. Verse 21 reads, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22. But
got a question. Hey, young man, got a question. What saved your soul?
In the engrafted word.
Oh.
Word.
That word will save your soul. Word will heal you. See, we got to make sure they get a big better from this word. Because what will save your soul and get you back on the right track is his word. That was precept in that we're not going there with it already, 8 verse 3. Man, live by his word. So you want to get right, you got to get in the word. Come on.
All right, back to 22. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 22 reads, but be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23. For if any be hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. 24. For he beholdeth himself and go his way, and straightway forgotten what manner of man he was. 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds.
Mm-hmm. Matthew 13:52, and a great closing statement you're on the clock about.
Okay. You want book of Matthew chapter 13? You want 52 or 42?
Make it 5-2.
All right. The book of Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. 52 reads, then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. First 52.
That's how you got to bring out things new and old. You got to go in this book and bring it out and bring out old sayings that's already written. You bring out something new and old. Continue with a continuation of writing from 4004 to 96 A.D. You bring what's written in this book, you tie all those good precepts in, and that's the game change. Bring out something new and old. Y'all line until Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Take your time. You got to find a closing statement. Come on.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Yahuwah, for another blessed day to be able to read his word. Thank you, Yahuwah, for opportunity like to meet the seer. Israel of Seed Roy. Thank you, Yahuwah, for my wife and children, be able to teach them the word of Yahuwah. I want to thank Yahuwah for our elders. And we thank Yahuwah for our mothers. Thank you, Yahuwah, for the teachers. Thank you, Yahuwah, for all the brothers and sisters in the six anointed camps. We thank you, Yahuwah, for all the 12 tribes of Israel bringing us back together on one accord. I want to read some in the book Psalms. Pick it up on chapter 107. Pick it up at verse number 1-3. The book of Psalms 107, picking up at verse number 1, read. Oh, give thanks unto Yahuwah, for he is good, for his mercy endure forever. Verse 2. Let the redeem of Yahuwah say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Verse 3. And gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Verse 5. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Verse 6. Then they cried unto Yahuwah in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Verse 7. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Yahuwah, hallelujah, Yahuwah, for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Well, you haven't got a man of God in the Bible to put to jail when they started speaking out